Click kaya959.co.za to download the Kaya Biz podcast.
We're getting down to business, all right? And you're listening to Kaya Biz here on Kaya959, our special Youth Day edition of the show. Yes, it's a public holiday, but that doesn't mean that there isn't a business story to the youth. And that's exactly what we're about to deep dive into tonight. Taking a look at five things that you might not know about South Africa's youth consumer class. Now, I'm quite keen to get your thoughts on this one. If you happen to be a young person, or better yet, young at heart, feel free to share your thoughts with us. Share your voice notes on 063-688-0959. We want to hear from you. As a young person, what are you buying? What are you spending on? What are your preferred tastes and what are your interests? More so, do you also have exciting ways within which you're building wealth? 063-688-0959. But to help us unpack this report, we're joined by Brandon de Kock, Brand Maps Director of Storytelling. Brandon, always a pleasure to have you and happy Youth Day. Thanks so much for making time to speak to us tonight.
Hi there. Good evening, Gugu. Thank you for having me.
Fantastic. I think before we get into the data, it is important for us just to reflect on the youth segment in South Africa, just in terms of the age group, but also how big and significant is this consumer class to the country?
So it depends, obviously, on how you define consumer or how you define youth. Our starting point is always this year's about 37. So what we mean by that, the consumer class in South Africa is what we call the big people fortunate enough to be living in households earning more than 10,000 rand a month. So consumers with a bit of choice. You know what I mean? That we're talking about the sort of employed, educated masses of South Africa. That's about 13.5 million people, and about half of them are under 37. So that was the view that we took when we thought we'd produce a little youth report to try and understand the younger half of the South African consumer class. So you're talking about, you know, roughly 7 million South Africans under the age of 37 who live in households earning more than 10,000 rand a month.
I'm just excited to still be considered a youth, so I'll take that.
I'm definitely not. I left youth behind in our terms a long time ago.
Oh, boy.
That's
true. But you're still young at heart, Brandon, so we'll take that. But what I also find so interesting in the data that you release is that it really does speak to the demographics of South Africa, especially if you take a look at the racial and gender profiling of the consumer base. Talk to us about those numbers.
Yes, I think that's one of the most interesting things about the report. I mean, obviously, the demographics of South Africa are completely represented in youth. You know, you're talking about a group that is close to 83% or 85% BIPOC, Black Indigenous People of Colour. So, you know, this is the new youth of South Africa. The ethnic differences aren't nearly as interesting for me as the gender differences. So, in our data, we're reflecting an imbalance, call it that, of somewhere between 60-65% female to male, which is super interesting. It is completely in line with what we know about tertiary graduation rates in South Africa right now. So if you look at last year, just over 60, I think something like 63% of all tertiary graduates in South Africa were female. So what we're seeing is it's a general thing around the world, but in South Africa in particular, women tend to do better at school, and we're starting to see that they tend to do a lot better at university. And in an economy where what you're looking for are new skills, it's the youth who are coming in with those new skills. And I think what we're seeing is they're just much more likely to be women, which is not a bad thing. I think a little bit more female energy in the world and the workplace in South Africa wouldn't be a bad thing at all, hey?
100%. I'm loving that as a woman myself. But that doesn't mean we discount the efforts of our male counterparts, because they play a critical role in society as well. I'm saying this deliberately because yesterday was Father's Day, right? So you can tell how intentional I am.
No, absolutely. And look, it is super important that we understand these dynamics. You know, we have a terrible shortage of male-dominated careers and qualified individuals. So if you look at something like engineering, you know, one of the big problems we face as South Africa is that we have a lack of engineers. And engineering, if Jordan Peterson and co. are to be believed, is very much a sort of a male-dominated brain kind of work or type of industry. And we're seeing that we lack the engineers in the country. At the same time, in things like financial services, which, let's face it, it makes no difference whether you're male or female, we're seeing that beginning to be quite dominated by female workers. So, yeah, we need to keep an eye on it as a country, and I think the education facilities need to keep an eye on it. We need to try and find a way of getting more guys to actually get degrees and do the jobs we need them to do.
100%. I think this is so clear and a clarion call to make sure that in as much as we know we have policies that prioritize women in the workplace, it's such an interesting view because when I look at the Stats SA unemployment data, Stats SA typically highlights that it's black female youth who are also on the periphery of the economy. So it's almost like this, I don't know if it's divergent or dichotomy of economies that we happen to be living in.
I think it's a classic tale of two cities. You know, we live in such a divided the divisions in society are one thing. The divisions in the economy are completely different. You know, 70% of South Africans, youth included, and obviously that 70% is dominated by youth. The people living under the 10K line, they're having a really, really hard time. You know, like life is hard under that line. You're struggling to put food on the table. You're struggling to pay your mobility expenses and your rent and all sorts of things. So life's hard under the 10K line, under the what we call the taxpayer line, you know. But the moment you get above that, it feels like there's a completely different story going on. And there are 13.5 million South Africans who, thank goodness, are doing okay, because if they're not doing okay, then the other 70% are going to be in quite a lot of trouble, you know. So it's a tale of two. It's always there's always two parallel lines in South Africa, aren't there? You know, it's like. So I think that's what we're seeing, is that we talk so much about unemployment. We're talking about the other half of the other railway line. And it looks like there's different commuters on those trains, you know, and a lot of them are very young, very highly qualified people, the majority of whom are women. You're right, though. It does. These are the confusing things that we try and unpick as people who are interested about data in South Africa.
This is why we love talking to you, because it does help us provide some context. But let's talk then about, you know, what this consumer segment is doing on the other side of the other railway line. And as you've mentioned, females certainly leading the charge in terms of educational opportunities, work opportunities. That also means they might be earning slightly more than their male counterparts. How is this influencing, the consumption trends that we witness here?
So I'm not sure that it's interesting. I don't know about the earning power. You know, when we look at at some of the data that we're faced with, not just ours, obviously there's Stats SA data and there's lots of different data sources that come out. It looks like there's a bit of an inverse curve, right? In other words, when you look at the top echelons, like your CEOs and sort of C-suite execs, that level, and they're generally a bit older anyway, that is probably a little bit male dominated. The places where women, you know, it's the sort of the fat middle of the consumer class where the female consumer is clearly is dominant almost. And what's really interesting about that is that the kind of things, and now you're going to hate me for this, Google it. This is like such a rash generalization. I think we have to generalize a little bit. And our youth specialist, Ashley Cumming, has done a nice piece on this, which appears in the actual report, about the nature of spending, right? So what we do know in the data is that younger female consumers tend to shop at more different places and they shop more often for more things. Men are a little bit more simple, but in general, they tend to spend their money on like higher ticket price items.
Fast cars,
you know what I mean?
Huh?
It's a bit of a generalization, but here's the exciting thing, right? When you talk about youth versus the non-youth, younger people in general are going to do more. You know, they're living life in a different way. They're eating more, they're drinking more, they're going out more, they're doing more things. And I think that's kind of like the great hope economically, is that if you've got this ever-increasing group of people, and it is, you know, the consumer class is growing at about twice the rate of inflation. So this is a group of people that's now becoming younger and younger, and those younger people are spending more and doing more and living life, which I think is great. You know, it's great if you're in the restaurant trade or the retail trade. It's certainly good for something like the banking industry, if you look and see how they knocked it off the park in the last couple of years, you know. I think that's why we say The youth is the answer. You know, it's the fact that we're a youthful society is just, it should give us all massive comfort. You know, if you're in a country like Germany or Japan that's having this aging population, the chances of a boost on the ground, you know, in what I call the mall boost, it's unlikely to happen. We're poised and ready. You know, we've got a lot of young people with a lot of money who are keen on living life to the fullest.
100%. And I find this so intriguing, right, in terms of the shifts. And you're quite right. A lot of generalizations that are there. But I guess for many South African youth, as we reflect on some of the purchases we make, it might be relevant. I'm looking at a few of my male colleagues and asking them, do you drive a fast car? Is that what you spend on? But beyond that, you might have noticed that when it comes to the world of economics, the world of entrepreneurship, being digitally connected is critical. And you have interesting insights in your report that actually speak about connectedness, but especially when it comes to connections across the globe and digital tools and sets that we can tap into.
Well, I mean, I think it's also a key understanding of the, do you remember it wasn't that long ago when the term digital natives was being thrown around? Yes. You know, this idea of when social media came in and everyone was very excited about this new idea that we were digitally connected. Well, you know, we're 25 years into that experiment, you know. So we now have, if you look at that 37-year-old cohort, the vast majority of those younger South Africans are complete digital nomads, digital natives, digital everything, you know. And I think what's interesting about it is that it means that our and I speak, I use the big our, sure. If I was one of the under 37 cohort, I would truly say our, but I think our outlook on the world is just so vastly different now, right? If you are earning a certain amount of money, you know very quickly just by going online what your relative earning power would be like in a place like Europe or Australia or America. You know how people are living all over the world. You have access to the same digital platforms they do. So the kind of comparative, as in the aspiration in life, I think is just so vastly different for the youth of South Africa now compared to what it was even 10, 15 years ago. And obviously, you know, we see like almost 70% of younger people are streaming music and, you know, half of them are job hunting online. And, you know, there's the digital world has just made everything so small, so accessible, and it's made the world so small. And it definitely has changed the perspective that young people have on their lives and also their lives in South Africa, you know.
Definitely. And I think this is so true because many of us do see it and experience it, right? We form communities and partnerships with peers right across the globe. And even post the pandemic, we also saw that, you know, virtual employment also grew significantly, where highly skilled, talented South Africans could work for any global entity, regardless of where they were in the world. So that also might be a link there in terms of that partnership.
Yeah, and I also think it's, I mean, key to it, I've sort of touched on it before, but linking directly with what you've just said is we are, in the last 5 or 6 years, the requirement for different skills and different jobs has changed quite dramatically as well. You know, I mean, think about AI. You know, at every conference I've spoken at in the last 2 months, I think it doesn't matter what it's been, whether it's a conference about peanuts or wine or retail trade, AI just comes up, you know. Now, that is a brand new skill set. So who's likely to have those skills? Younger people who are freshly, you know, out of college. And those are skills that are going to be globally needed, but they're sorely needed here in South Africa as well. So it's a major component of this thing, I think, is that we see a lot of younger people entering the workforce at much higher levels. I'm talking about people with high levels of education are entering the workforce at much higher levels of income than they were. You know, so I think the stat was that, I'm trying to remember exactly what it is, I think it's about 25% of the people that we measure at the moment who are under 37 are already earning in excess of 20,000 rand a month. You know, these are young skilled people. It's kind of like the hidden, as I said, we think so often about who's not who's suffering and who's not doing well. But you got to remember that there's a group of people and young people at that who are doing okay. You know, they're managing to find a way to get ahead. Yeah. All about education for me. You know,
husband, this is so critical, and I think really gives us an interesting perspective about the two economies we wait in South Africa.
Mm.
Brandon, I can't let you go. When we started the show, we played the song from Sarafina called "Freedom Is Coming Tomorrow," and
freedom is coming. Yep.
I'm so keen to understand what that looks like for the youth of today. It might not be political freedom, because we've got freedom of movement, you know, freedom of interaction, rights as well, in so many ways that previous generations might not be able to comprehend. But what does that encompass? And are there avenues and areas from an economic view that are still critical to economic emancipation?
Sure, that's a tough question, Gugu. You know, I think freedom is an interesting concept economically. I think in South Africa, to a large degree, if you've got a job, you can almost be considered, you know, to have some sort of economic freedom. I think the important thing about understanding where these new young consumers sit is that a lot of the things on which our financial sort of world is built, you know, our general economy is built, is this idea of what the important things are in life, you know, owning a house and owning a car. And those are the things that are changing quite dramatically as well. You know, we're seeing, if you just look at car ownership, just look at how that trend has changed. You know, you've got lease to buy and rent to buy and ride sharings and Ubers. And so when something as fundamental as the role that a motor car plays or the role that owning a house plays in your life, we see that changing dramatically. And that, I think, is allied to a genuine sense of freedom, as in, I think we will slowly start seeing younger people wanting to be less attached to those kind of things, and more able to go and work in another country, to you know, to change jobs, to have a side hustle, to do all of these things that are part of the new modern freedom. So there's a fundamental shift in the way that we perceive the big important building blocks of life. And I think that's probably what defines consumer freedom for the younger consumer, or freedom for the younger consumer.
100%. For anyone who might be keen to actually read up on this particular report, Brandon, gain more insight into the consumption trends of South African youth, where can we find it?
We're going to post it up on our website on brandmap.co.za, and it's got all the charts and graphs that people can look at and turn into their own stories, because I always say, you know, you can't, I'm allowed to have my opinion, you and I can both have opinions and tell stories, but you can't really argue with the facts. So we tend to try and put the charts and graphs that show all of these facts up on our website. Just go to Brandmap.
100%. Thank you so much. That is Brandon de Kock joining us today to give us some insight into the latest data and insight into South African youth consumer trends. So that will give us some details into where we are with regard to the two economies in South Africa. And I think really intriguing for many of us, if we do take a look at much of the economic data from Stats SA, we know South Africa is plagued by a high youth unemployment rate. At least a quarter of South Africans are essentially unemployed, and that does speak to the impact that we do have on youth. But despite that, there's also a cohort of youth who are well educated, well exposed to the digital and global economy, and most importantly, looking to forge partnerships with their global peers. You can read up more on that on all things to do with Kaya Biz here on Kaya 959.
Click kaya959.co.za to download the Kaya Biz podcast.